And you are listening to FOW Live here on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick. With me, as always, Danny Danger. Danny, how are you this evening? Are we trying those headphones again?
Yeah, the headphones clipping in and out of here.
Should I
drop them?
I mean, you haven't sounded terrible before lately, so why not?
All right, hello.
There you go.
And I gotta turn up volume or something. What the fuck? So there we go. Hello. Can anybody hear me now? Am I here?
Slightly better. Yeah.
Better. At least it's consistent, right?
Cool.
Yeah. So we're here.
There you go.
Another week of wrestling. You know, some big shows happened this past weekend. Probably deserve talking about a little bit.
Yeah, just a bit. And we'll get to a lot of that, but how about that Noah show that you know, the last, you know, Muta's last match. Man,
I haven't seen it yet. We thought that was going to be...
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen it yet because it's $50 on pay-per-view, or if you're a Wrestle Universe subscriber, you can get it for $40. Woohoo! Sorry, I'm not paying that much for a wrestling event. It's 2023. If I'm paying that much for a wrestling event, I am sitting live there, sir.
I can't tell you that you or Eric listening to something very loud.
I'm watching the Fantasmania show. It's not that loud. You're loud.
Oh, it's
kind of
loud.
Nah. Well, I just kind of set my phone down by it. But yeah, I'm watching today's Fantasmania show.
All right. Well, we thought.
Yes.
That Muto's last match is going to be versus Tsuya Naito.
Naito wishes he got the main event at the Tokyo Dome.
Muto's last match was actually his first match. Of course, we know Keiji Muto and Masahiro Chono have a history together. As you know, the two guys, you know, that came up at around the same time, you know, wrestled their first ever match together, and how fitting that, you know, Chono was the last match of Muta's career. Well played. It's funny because when he made the challenge, we're like, oh Jesus, how long until this one?
You know, I mean, I was wondering how long. Like, I think it's been quite a long time since Chono's actually wrestled. I know he's had a lot of injuries.
It's been a while.
Stuff, so this was kind of a special moment. But, I mean, they're the surviving two of the Three Musketeers of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Of course, Shinya Hashimoto, unfortunately passed away almost 15 years ago now. But yeah, so they, you know, it's, Japan loves a full circle type moment. They started together. They end it together.
Yeah. So I haven't watched it. How is Fantasticomania?
I'm only in the second match, but it's always fun. I'm glad you know we're able to do it again this year. You know, a lot of course mostly returning faces. A couple new people who I've never even heard of, Magia Blanca, and I can't remember the other guy's name who is debuting this year, but, you know, Cavernario's back, so that's good. Of course, Titan and Mystico, Volador Jr., Ultimo Guerrero, of course, is back. You know, he's always there. Akamura, of course, as he's kind of the orchestrator of all this. I think he's kind of being that he's Japanese-born, but primarily lives and wrestles in Mexico. He and his wife, Mima Shimoda. She's usually in his corner, which is awesome.
Yeah. So Muta's last match, 30,000 people, was what? Over 4,000 more people than we got from Wrestle Kingdom, apparently.
Okay.
That's the real number. Is this gonna be his last match? You think he's really done?
Yeah, I think he's really done. You know? I mean, he did a whole tour this time, and, you know, last match for Great Muta. Now the last match for Keiji Muta with Chono. I would say, yeah. I would say singles match at least. I mean, you know, he might do another mixed tag or something, kind of like Jatsumi Fujinami keep popping up doing tag matches and stuff. You know, as they call them, the old-timer matches. Maybe one or two more of those, but I mean, it's definitely his last singles match, I would say.
Yeah. I think so too. I wasn't 100% sure what we'll do, but you know, if that would hold, obviously it's hard to think that, you know, anybody would, you know, actually retire. I mean,
especially Muto, who's yeah, you know, done it as many times as Terry Funk had, basically.
I mean, isn't Flair talking about doing another final match now?
Of course, yeah. Probably. You know, and when Liger retired, he talked to Muto about it. Muto said, you can always just unretire. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Well, let's not come over to this side of town. Tony Khan had a huge announcement
this week,
like he always does.
Every other week, pretty much. I mean, honestly, I feel like it's been a few weeks since he had his last one, so good on him.
Do you know what the announcement is? How you been scrolling through this?
No clue.
Are you ready?
I don't know if I'm actually prepared for Tony Khan's special announcement.
At least what I believe the announcement is AEW's first unscripted series. All Access.
What was it? Roads to the Top, their first unscripted series?
I don't know. Featuring Adam Cole.
Okay.
Dr. Britt Baker, Sammy Guevara, Tony Conti, The Young Bucks, everybody. Basically.
I feel like this isn't an announcement. I feel like they've been talking about this for a while.
Well, I mean, I went online about, you know, and it said that Tony Khan has a big announcement. It involves Adam Cole. And then I scroll up and then out there, AEW sets unscripted series. So unless I'm wrong.
You're not. It was the announcement.
So it wasn't a new announcement because, like I said, I think I've even seen a teaser trailer about this before.
I was kind of blown away by the announcement, to be completely honest with you.
Well, yeah, totally, completely, and utterly.
Like, I can tell how blown away you are.
He hyped it up as an important announcement, and I'm like, this is important. Okay.
Of course, yeah. It's a rating spike, brother.
Sure, if that's what we want to call it. Instead of the 800,000 people that watch, that he might get 801,000 people.
Yeah. Totally.
I mean, it in the top 10 Tony Khan announcements of all time, where does this land? With number one being the highest.
I don't even know. I can't even remember any of his announcements because most of them are kind of BS like this. They get hyped up and then they're really nothing that important.
Yeah.
So I don't
know. That's the TK special.
It's a hype train, baby. As long as you watch, it doesn't matter what the announcement is. As long as you watch to find out what it is.
The show kind of sucked tonight, too.
And a couple weeks from now, they'll do another announcement and people will get excited about it again.
Will they?
I mean, does anybody believe that the Wardlow has any chance against Samoa Joe more than he didn't have before? After that very, you know, inspiring interview?
I mean, I was kind of surprised that Evil Uno's in the main event spot, but, you know. I mean, I like Evil Uno. He's good. But I was just kind of surprised that he's in the main event spot, given where his standing has typically been on the card.
Well, I mean, he is with the order, right? And I mean, they're going to milk that as much as they can right now.
There's only like five guys in the order.
That many?
I don't know if there's that many. I
think there's the Beaver. There's the Beaver Boys and Uno.
And that's
it. That it?
That's it.
Oh yeah. Everybody else
has negative one
or left or whatever. Negative one, I guess. I don't know if you know.
That doesn't count.
He still counts.
He's like three.
He's yeah. I mean, technically, since he's negative one, then they only have two members.
Yeah.
Because Vance is in Ingobernables yep. now.
Yep. Angel's gone. Anna Jay is gone.
Anna Jay yep. is in the Jericho Society.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She yep. followed the real money, baby.
Hey, it's Impact World Champion, Drew McIntyre.
Huh. Where?
I'm watching old Impact on Pluto.
Oh.
And I've been watching it for like 3 minutes, and it's better than everything that AEW put out tonight.
See, I was wondering where you went last week. So you went to Pluto. See, another universe. Or no, another planet, I mean.
I was going to say.
It's not a planet anymore.
It's a dwarf planet.
Yeah, it's a dwarf planet that's and within Neptune's orbit, yeah.
The thing you learn about a thing.
This was like 10 years ago. It was like a whole big thing. Everybody's like, what do you mean Pluto's not a planet anymore?
You expect me to know something from 10 years ago?
If it was 1994, you'd know it.
I mean, it's science or something, right? You expect you to know science and current events and those kind of things.
I hate science.
You hate science?
Yeah. It was definitely not a favorite topic. Since
2016.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had to be a big WWE boy.
Good for him.
He had to get ripped and huge and shredded to be hired back. He and Jinder both, man. That's the only reason Heath isn't back yet. He hasn't gotten swole enough.
He got swole, but it was just in the wrong spot.
It's not enough. That's what I'm saying.
Oh shit, Rockstar Spud versus Drew, okay. I miss old Impact. It was really good. It's still really good. Impact is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not gonna love Impact, you know. I never have been a huge fan. But I will give them this. They are consistent. And you know what to expect with Impact, right? So it's not like you're watching a whole 2 hours of, you know, Dynamite on TBS expecting this big announcement.
Yeah. And then get let down, yeah?
But there it is. I mean, are we excited about March 5th?
What's March 5th?
What happened on March 5th?
AEW Revolution. Apparently not.
Well, they have another pay-per-view coming up that soon, huh?
That's what's hyping. They're having this tag team royale thing for the number one contendership. You know, the Ironman match, MJF versus Brian.
Oh yeah, we talked about how terrible that's
going to be. Danielson, Samoa Joe versus Wardlow. Apparently, Ricky Starks gets his rematch against Jericho.
Yeah, Jericho did the "you just made the list" thing tonight.
He did.
Because, you know, we hate WWE, but we do everything that we used to do in WWE.
I mean, it worked.
And everybody's going to talk about how awesome and cool the AEW, quote-unquote, unscripted television program is when all they do is shit all over, you know, the WWE's versions of those Miz and Mrs. and, you know, Total Divas.
It's NWA World Champion Tyrus.
Yeah.
Hey, Miz and Mrs. is quality television. Total Divas, not so much, but Miz and Mrs. is really good.
It is very good. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think people underrate Legends House.
I never watched that. I didn't give a shit about any of those people.
It was VH1's Surreal Life, except they were old WWE guys.
Mm-hmm. It was very surreal. I'll tell you that. But alas, yeah. So apparently we're not looking forward to March the 5th, AEW Revolution. But, I mean, I am looking forward to it in the sense that I really want to see I really want to know if MJF can keep it up for an hour against the American Dragon.
I mean, he's going to have to, even if they got to pace themselves and do a bunch of fucking rest holds, he's going to have to.
Excuse me.
So.
That's pretty much what I think about that match, too, yeah.
I mean, we're coming to, how many years is the HBK Bret Hart Ironman? That was 96. 17 years, if my math is not correct. I'm not good at math either. Obviously, we've had many Ironman matches before then, but, you know, nobody remembers anything that happened before the Attitude Era. It's definitely going to be interesting to see what MJF is made of.
Not really. Nothing MJF does is really that interesting.
He might surprise you, Danny.
I don't think he will. I don't think he will. He's fairly mediocre of a wrestler. He's, you know, average height, average build, very generic moveset. You know, I don't enjoy him in a 10 or 12 minute match, let alone watching him wrestle for an hour.
He's good on the mic. I'll give him that.
Cool. He's a sports entertainer.
He's a sports entertainer. Yeah, cool. Good on him.
Yeah, I mean, he was good in his promo tonight, you know, against Brian.
Cool.
Yeah.
What did he say? Something like, more time he spends in his less time that he cares about his wife and children, or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the typical heel. I'm going to bring your wife into this bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Going to cut you low by talking about your family. Ooh, you don't bring a man's family into this.
I mean, it's Brie Bella. She probably doesn't have the intelligence to remember anything that was said anyway. That's cool. Just run face first in the door, you dumbass.
He was just that excited. Okay.
He's just that stupid.
All right. The Elimination Chamber, guys. The Elimination Chamber. By the way, what a crowd in Montreal on Friday night for a go-to. home show.
Yeah.
I would say they didn't have to do much. That crowd, and really, they didn't. But for a go-home show, that was one excited crowd on Friday night, all leading to, you know, the next night as we presented the, well, WWE presented the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, we didn't
present it personally, no.
No. Yeah. So, kicking off the show, the women's Elimination Chamber, of course, number one, the winner will get a title shot against Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. And
Bianca.
Rhea Ripley hasn't won.
You're right. Rhea is getting the she's getting a title shot against
Mommy's beating the shit out of Charlotte at WrestleMania.
All right. Against Bianca Belair. I stand corrected. Yeah, and in almost 20 minutes, Asuka defeats Carmella, Liv Morgan, Natalya, Nikki Cross, and Raquel Rodriguez.
So how long are the intervals now for the Elimination Chamber? Are they just quote-unquote random? It's not like a set 5 minutes anymore?
I think it's
because
like
the whole match was 20 minutes. Like, yeah, that it used to be
5 minutes or something, or...
Yeah,
the initial period was 5 minutes, and then it was three. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it really felt like it's whatever.
It's quote unquote random intervals.
It's whatever WWE feels like that day, probably.
Yeah. No, it's just the women. We'll only give them 20 minutes.
It was a good match, though.
Definitely what it felt like.
But Asuka beats the shit out of everybody, and that's what should have happened, and that's what did happen. So
that was my pick, if I remember correctly.
And then Carmella said that she was going to give Asuka a receipt, so I'm excited to watch that.
Excited to watch Carmella get splattered across the canvas.
Like, legitimately melt into the canvas after Asuka destroys her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, good match. I mean, didn't you guys say somebody said Carmella was gonna win, or
I
did. That was probably Tamika. But we were all saying how she was like, "Oh, Corey is back," and blah blah blah, and we were all like, "No, please, no, please, no! Don't you put that torture on me."
Took out a mortgage on my house to bet on Asuka.
Cool.
Yeah. I will say I was impressed with Nikki.
Of course.
But I'm always impressed with Nikki, so.
Yeah.
Nikki's great.
Are they ever going to give Raquel a gimmick?
Other than the nice person who flexes?
Smiling and pointing at her back is not a gimmick.
No, that's not really a gimmick. No, I liked when she was Lady Stan Hansen, when, you know, in the Mae Young Classic, where she was in fucking denim and came out with the bull rope and was lariating people. Like, that was cool. I love that shit.
I did too. And I liked the Big Mommy Cool essentially too when she teamed with Coda.
Yeah.
Like, I liked that.
She was big, kind of the Big Mommy Cool. I guess they were trying to do that with her and Aaliyah, but.
Yeah, but Aaliyah sucks dick. So.
Yeah,
she probably makes everybody look bad,
figuratively and literally. But, no, like I miss Raquel when she was like a killer. Now she's just like, she's I'm gonna smile powerful. And point at my back.
Mm-hmm. But look at my muscles. Look at my muscles on my back. Like, cool. Like, you got big muscles. Cool. Okay.
Everybody in that match had a gimmick except for I smile and point at my back. Well, I guess Natalya has a gimmick. I'm not really sure. I stopped paying attention to Natalya 15 years ago.
Her gimmick is that her uncle is Bret the Hitman Hart, okay?
She follows me on Twitter. I need to be nicer to her.
I know, right? Jeez.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
This is really good.
What is that?
Teriyaki chicken flavored crackers that I got at the Asian supermarket.
That sounds like a thing.
I spent $50 on snacks at the Asian supermarket. Because I have no control over my life.
Well.
And I like snacks.
Snacks are good. All right. Moving on. Okay. So
wait, I actually have a question for you guys because y'all Japan more than me. What is blue mist?
Don't know. Like, is it a food or a beverage? What are you trying?
Blue mist? No. Like, you know, Muda would shoot out mist, and like the different colors signified like paralysis or blindness and stuff like that. So Asuka's leaking blue goo. What is the blue?
I don't know. Long that's ago, Muda tried to set up the whole different kinds. I can't remember what blue was. Well, she also did, you know, the green. I don't know if, you know, the green was blinding. I think that was the gimmick with the blue, you know, the green. And the red, of course, is quote-unquote blood. I think the yellow was supposed to be, like, acidic. I think he sprayed it once on Sting's stomach, and Sting was freaking out, like his skin's melting or something. I don't recall Muda ever doing blue specifically, so I don't know if
blue has... sends the opponent to sleep.
The blue does?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Yellow one actually paralyzes an opponent.
The yellows are paralyzing. Okay, I thought the yellow was like an acidic thing.
No, which is what they kind of start forget because I don't know.
There's where. A whole Wikipedia page on this. This is fantastic.
Well, there you go. Why pester your friends with questions when you can just use Wikipedia?
I know. I should have just fucking Googled.
Should have just Googled it.
Green obstructs the vision. Red is burning the eyes. Black blinds. Blue sends the opponent to sleep. Yellow paralyzes. And purple causes momentarily distraction and memory loss. That's cool.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, so it was... okay, so I remember the black against Missy Hyatt. He sprayed in her face, and then she was, like, wearing sunglasses and couldn't, you know, for weeks or whatever.
Yeah, and that's the one that Tajiri did on Nydia, too.
Yeah, when she was blinded, too, yeah.
Hey, I think everybody in this match is in WWE now. Nope. Eddie Edwards is still tugging along in Impact. But yeah, no, I was just curious. I guess I should have just Googled it.
Yeah.
So Friday night, The Fiend comes out and makes a challenge after he and Uncle Howdy take out, what are they called? So he goes Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, whoever wins your match or something, I'm paraphrasing, you know, run. So, yeah, next up we get Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar in a 4-minute match, which Bobby Lashley wins by disqualification after Brock low blows him and then low blows the referee.
Because Brock knew he wouldn't get out of that Brock or that hurt lot. Once Bobby cinches that in, it's over, boys.
So I guess Bobby now is gonna, you know, better start running, because I guess the Fiend or Bray Wyatt is gonna go after him.
We'll find out in the Firefly Funhouse.
Technically, won a match.
It's a friendship that'll never ever end.
So I saw some people claiming that Uncle Howdy is going to be Switchblade Jay White.
Okay.
One guy was claiming he went back and he watched all of the videos trying to see how, you know, clues or what have you. And his part of his reasoning was the way that Uncle Howdy hits Sister Abigail. He claims it's much more like the Switchblade. Blade Runner. Yeah, more like Jay White's Blade Runner. Yeah. But the thing is, like, we've seen in professional wrestling, whoever is under it now is not always the same person once the unmasking happens. Yeah. Yeah, so whoever's there's, you can't tell me that Jay White was in here doing all these videos and promos and traveling the road while under contract with New Japan. That doesn't make sense. That's not realistic. Yeah. But yeah, once the mask comes off, it's possible. Anything's possible. But, you know, right now everybody's pretty sure it's Bo. You know, it's Brother Bo.
I'm a believer.
And whether once the mask comes off, it just, you know, it's Bo. Whether, you know, once they actually have a wrestling match, whether it's Bo will be, you know, it's a different story, I guess.
It's going to be Cameron Grimes.
Oh, goodness. He's going to be like, but he was never that skinny. What are you doing? He was bulk. He was huskier than that.
Husky? Like Husky Harris?
Well, kind of.
LOLOL.
Where is the Carolina caveman these days anyways? He's still out with injury?
Bro, I have no idea. I've been wondering where he's been for like last year.
I thought it was like an injury thing.
I miss Cameron Grimes. He was good. He is
good. Like last, it was pretty much like shortly after that ladder match with LA Knight. He had like, he was on TV a little bit more and then he kind of disappeared, right?
Yeah. Where is Cameron?
I think it's an injury.
I thought he went to the moon.
I think he's in the Uncle Howdy costume.
You would think he would have been back by now. It don't take that long to get to the moon.
Well, have you ever watched Apollo 13?
Yeah, it's only about 2 hours. Yeah, that's how. And they were to the moon and back in that amount of time.
Yeah,
but that was also that was also like 1970. I mean. You know, technology changed. We got self-driving cars and shit now. Yeah, you trying to tell me spaceship isn't any faster than it was 2 years ago?
This is what we call long story telling.
He hasn't been on TV since the 22nd of November.
Well, it's not that long, man. It's only about 6 months. Well, less than 6 months. It's only 3 months then. Shit. Well, it's only 3 months then. I thought it was like 6 months or more, yeah.
I swear to God, I just heard Ken Anderson. Say Kennedy.
He might have. Knowing that dingus, he'd probably flub up his own catchphrase on live TV.
Well, I thought you were watching Mr. Anderson matches, so.
No. No.
I know he's your favorite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, back to Brock Lesnar. Yeah, I guess Bray and Bobby is the thing.
Omos has made a challenge, a WrestleMania challenge for Lesnar.
God, I hope that is not real.
Lesnar will be on Monday Night Raw next week, I believe, or in 2 weeks to answer that challenge.
I really hope that that is not real. Or that they backed up the truck for Brock to face Omos, because that's going to be a shit match.
Yeah. Yeah, Omos definitely isn't ready for a match like that yet. I mean, he's still doing good at his, you know, where he's the big man and people kind of have to squash him. But if he's in there with the guy who can throw him around and shit, you're going to see the holes in his game very, very quickly.
And I don't remember the last time that I watched him wrestle.
Yeah, it's probably been a while, so hopefully he's been training in that time.
He's been training and saying his prayers and eating his vitamins.
Well, yeah,
I swear he wrestled Lashley not long ago.
That feud was like November.
Less than a year.
I mean, that's still not recent.
Yeah. Edge and Beth Phoenix defeated the Judgment Day's Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley.
You mean Edge and Bull Nakano?
And boy, did Montreal hate Dominic Mysterio.
I'm curious as to how Dom got into the country. You know, they don't let felons into Canada.
So truth.
He hid in the trunk or something when they drove the car.
Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's viable.
Not the first time a Mexican sneaks in a country in the trunk.
Wow. Yeah.
That's racist.
Yeah, I mean, this time he was just sneaking it. He was sneaking out of the U.S. instead of into it. Yeah. I mean, but to be fair, he probably had to do the same coming back into the U.S. So, you know.
No, right, America lets felons in, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was just genuinely confused as to how an ex-con got into Canada. Like, it's insane.
Well, they're probably nice. They're really nice if he was just like, hey, come on, please. Like, it's just for a couple days. Oh, come on, sure. Why not? You know, have some fucking poutine and here's some maple syrup.
Okay,
who was the last wrestler that they didn't allow into Canada?
The Usos.
For the same reason. Okay, yeah.
Because Jay was... Well, Jay couldn't... It wasn't that Canada wouldn't let him in, it's that the U.S. wouldn't let him out of the country because he was out on bail bond.
So let me just say, what we're not going to do is insult poutine. First off, because that shit's a delicacy. Second, yes, we give maple syrup to everybody that enters the country, but that's neither here nor there. So be nice to my country.
Your country is the United States of America, sir.
It really isn't. I claim nothing in America.
Except but America claims you. America claims you because we're the melting pot, and we accept everybody, right, regardless of your walk of life and
where
you came from, and
if you don't
smell and all that stuff.
If you don't want to claim to be an American, you know you can easily pay yourself out as much as it cost, as I pay to make myself be an American. So that's a thing, really.
It's not. I can just leave and not have to pay anything because I am a dual citizen.
They can still find ways to make you pay.
No, because I'm a Canadian citizen.
But you said you're also an American citizen, so you're similar to having to pay Canadian taxes. You have to pay American taxes on a residency.
Not if I'm living in Canada.
Oh no, you still have to still pay. That's why many rich people who have paid to become un-American.
That's why a lot of WWE guys ended up moving to the U.S. instead of living in Canada. Because while they were resident in Canada, they were earning money in the United States, and they were getting taxed in Canada for money. And then they weren't, you know, they were paying higher taxes for public services that they were not using because over 2/3 of the year they were not in that country. So that's why a lot of them moved to Florida and stuff. Jericho and Christian and those kind of guys moved, you know, south to warmer weather and not getting their paycheck taxed twice.
I just realized that Eric Young has a rebellion symbol on his jacket and he's supposed to be evil.
You can rebel and be evil. Okay. Not
from Star Wars. The Rebellion is the quote-unquote good guys.
Yeah, but to the Empire, they're the bad guys.
They are the bad guys. F the Rebellion.
And there are probably some guys in the Rebellion who even the other Rebellion guys are like, nah, fuck that guy. He's not cool. He can't be part of our club.
Who's this Luke Skywalker douchebag that comes in and immediately starts blowing shit up?
And Blake. Trying to outshine us at fucking meetings with the boss and everything. That's not that hard. Fuck you, professional pilot. Fuck you, professional soldiers. I'm 19. I know better than you.
Sanity, that was such a good stable.
Yeah. Okay. So to become a U.S. citizen.
No, my goodness. We're just completely off the fucking rails of Wrestling Bay. At least I tried to bring it back to wrestling and talk about wrestlers paying, you know.
You have to have a green card. So total cost of a green card and then your citizenship, about $2,500.
I don't need a green card. I'm a dual citizen.
I'm giving this the information to our viewers. All right, listen.
I don't think they're wanting to talk about fucking green cards when they came to talk about wrestling because we're the fans of wrestling, not the fans of the status.
And
there's a guy in an EC3 like jacket, and it's really cool. Like it's like one of those like suit jackets, but it's got EC3's face all over it, and I really kind of want it.
You want to control your narrative jacket?
Well, this was pre-controlling your narrative, so.
But see, the thing is, it was always inside his brain. It wasn't just something he woke up and threw at you. He was always scheming to plan to.
Well, he kind of told us that he was this way because he kept, you know, his theme song was trouble, 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 trouble.
And then he's a rich white guy, so you know he's a POS. So.
And then he was in the top 1%.
Yeah, which is the POSs, yeah.
Wow. I guess we should have always known he was controlling his narrative.
Yeah, and he was going to try to help you control yours if you let him.
Didn't NWA sign Control Your Narrative, speaking of?
They signed EC3.
He said he was bringing it in.
Apparently that guy, Fodder, is also there.
What the hell is a Fodder?
You joked about him being at WrestleCade. You said the guy's name is literally Fodder. I said he's a Control Your Narrative guy. Look at his shirt, and you're like, oh, okay.
That's how forgettable the Fodder is, I guess.
Yeah, apparently he is Angelina Love's new guy or something, and they called Crazy Love as their name.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
So he's there, and he's basically their fucking young boy.
As Jobber Fodder?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, like you would think. Yeah, but they signed EC3, so I don't know if the whole brand CYN brand is coming or not, but I would assume that's probably in his deal that he can at least promote that further.
I was going to say, because I thought I saw a thing that said that he was bringing Control Your Narrative into NWA.
Probably, like I said, for his contract, get them, probably.
Oh no, EY hit a pile driver on Gunner. Doesn't Gunner control his narrative too?
I think unofficially. I think it's more.
Wait, that's not Gunner. That's fuck. God dang what.
I mean, that's not what I would call him, but sure.
Thomas Latimer. That was his. What was his actual name?
He's Latimer in wrestling now, yeah. But he was Braun, wasn't he?
Braun, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was Braun without the U in Impact.
That was it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then once he left and went with NWA, he started using his real name of Tom Latimer.
There we go. This has only been like 8 years ago, and I can't even remember it.
And he's married to the Brick House.
He's
Mr. Brick House.
Mm. Speaking of Brick Houses, Beth looked great at the Ministry Chamber.
Yeah, Bull Nakano looked really good.
I would say she's definitely a Brick House. She's mighty, mm-hmm. mighty, and just let it all hang out.
Obviously, this led to Edge wanting to wrestle on Monday night. He gets attacked by Finn Balor. The war's not over. We're gonna get more.
Of course, it's never over, brother. It's never over. Nothing's ever over in wrestling. Come on now.
It ain't over till it's over. Is that what they say? Like you guys predicted, Austin Theory defeated Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, Johnny Gargano, Montez Ford, and Seth Rollins. to retain the United States title in 31 minutes.
Montez Ford is a star, and Montez Ford should have won that match.
That's what they want you to think, so that when he eventually does, everybody goes fucking nuts.
It's Mike and Maria. Speaking of stars. But no, Montez looked so good in that fucking match. Like, oh my God. Like, if you didn't believe that that dude had it in him to be a main eventer, that match should have sold anybody. Like, oh, he's so good.
What was poor Angelo doing while his boy Tez was in the chamber? Was he just like hanging on the outside cheering him on?
No, he was stirring it up in the back.
What is he stirring up exactly?
I don't know, but he does it every entrance.
I know, and I don't know what it means.
It means he's stirring it up. I think he's stopped that, though.
Yeah, I don't think he's done that in a while.
But he's gotten better in the ring, too. Like Dawkins is pretty decent again, or now. I think now that he has a gimmick, because when he was in NXT, like, he wasn't terrible in the ring, but, like, he had no...
They bounced him around with a bunch of tag partners, and he never really had a gimmick except wearing the headband
and
stirring an imaginary bowl in his hand. Yeah,
he's baking cookies. Okay, at least it kind of makes sense for Red Velvet to do it.
But why are you bringing that to the ring, though?
I mean,
why are you bringing the batter to the ring? There ain't an oven in there.
You don't know what's underneath the ring. There's a whole midget house under there. For Hornswoggle.
I mean, maybe. But we don't know that anymore. I mean, that's probably not anymore. I don't think he's still there.
You don't remember when Triple H and Shawn Michaels went under the ring and there was a whole...
But he's not living there anymore.
That doesn't mean his house isn't still there. If I don't live in my house, it doesn't disappear.
I mean, it might. They might bulldoze it down and put something else in its place.
Look, I've had three houses on my street catch on fire in the last 3 months, so I'm just kind of waiting at this point. I wish I was kidding, but there's been three houses on my street in the last 3 months that have burned down, so I'm nervous.
Well, you know, just be a little careful.
I didn't even notice until the next day, I guess.
Start a bunch of fucking fires and stuff. Yeah, you were like, there's a bunch of fire trucks in my neighborhood. Not sure what's going on. I'll check it out.
Well, no, this one was like earlier this week. Like, I had went to work one morning and the house was there, and I came back and the house was burnt down. And I was like, oh, well, shit. Well, whatever, I guess.
Speaking of stars, Logan Paul.
I mean, the guy's good in the ring, yeah.
Yeah.
But fuck that cracker.
He's going to get his ass whooped by Seth freaking Rollins.
I don't think anybody has ever really thought that they were ever going to get their ass whooped by Seth freaking Rollins. Like, he might beat you in a wrestling match, but I'm not ever worried about him kicking my ass, okay? Like, he might best me in a sports entertainment contest, but I'm not worried about him, quote-unquote, kicking my ass.
He'll stomp on your face.
And his red
stomp on the back of my head until my face hits the ground. That's very different. That's a move that's different. That's a move that Shane and Stephanie used to do when they were kids. That ain't believable as a finish.
Jeff Hardy's putting on his makeup and talking in a mirror.
Yeah, I mean, it worked under Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So yeah, Theory won.
Yep.
You guys really think we get Theory versus Cena as rumored?
Well, I mean, that's... Yeah. I mean, sure, why not? I mean, Cena loves that U.S. belt, baby. He wants that U.S. belt. He's playing at it,
so...
Yeah.
Does he win it or is it a non-title match?
It's probably going to be for the title. I don't know if Cena's going to win it, though. I think somehow it'll finish and
Cena will win the match, but not necessarily the title.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. The main event. Here we go. 32 minutes for the Undisputed Universal Championship. Roman Reigns defeats Sami Zayn after we get some interference from one of the Usos. Okay, so now I can sort of tell them apart.
No, it's not hard. They look completely
different. So, only when they turn around. So Jimmy has long hair, and Jay has short hair.
Very good. Their faces are also looking very different looking.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, whatever you said. So now I can tell them apart.
Congratulations. They've only been wrestling with World Wrestling Entertainment for 20 fucking years.
Yeah.
You know, it was going to take time, but eventually we got it done. So.
Jay was always the one that wore the face paint on the right, and Jimmy was the one that wore it on the left. It wasn't like, hard back then either.
Like, I'm going to remember that. You're asking for too much.
Not really.
Too much. All right. Anyways, I knew this was going to happen. I mean, everybody on the Twitterverse, though, come on. I mean, why? I mean, I understand. There's a point to all of this, right? I mean, Sami should win because, I mean, he's up. I mean, in defeat, I feel like Sami still won. Because, I mean, that ovation that he got Monday night in Ottawa, I think that's what they were.
Mm-hmm.
It was just as hard as it was the Friday night in Montreal. Now, it'll be interesting to see how it goes in the next few weeks. You know, I mean, we'll probably get a lot of, you know, back, you know, a lot of back and forth between Sami and Owens until he can convince Owens to team up with him. But I mean, I thought the match was played very well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, great match too. You know, you know, Roman Reigns did what he was supposed to do, take over most time, but then, you know, still giving Sami that chance. You know, even though I expected, you know, Roman to win, there was a brief moment in time where they just had me, what if? And, you know, that was good. I think it was after the second kick, or I can't remember, or one of the last kickouts that Sami did. I can't remember. They just felt like maybe there's a chance. Maybe I might be wrong here, but they do not. But great match. I loved it.
I never thought Sami was gonna win, but I mean, You had those moments where you weren't too sure what direction they were going. I thought maybe the crowd the night before would have swayed, but I'm pretty sure that these WrestleMania plans have been in place for a while. So I don't think that the crowd reaction would have necessarily changed the direction of the story. Whereas, you know, in 2013, 2014, whatever the hell it was, the people didn't want Batista versus Orton, and Brian was their guy. Whereas, like, yes, the fans love Sami, the fans also love Cody, and they aren't, I don't think that they're willing to turn on Cody to get the spot to Sami. So,
yeah.
I mean, does Sami deserve a reign with the title? Probably. Will he get it? Probably at some point. But unfortunately, it's not the month before WrestleMania.
Right.
But it was a great match. It was very good storytelling. And I thought, I wasn't too sure what was going to happen when Jay came out. Because you could tell he didn't want to hit Sammy. And then mm-hmm. Sammy accidentally hit him with the spear. So I guess that'll play into Jay sticking with the bloodline.
Right. And, I mean, we at least know he's going to stick with his brother.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah.
The whole bloodline started with Jay. I feel like it should end with Jay.
Yeah.
But
I think that may be a thing. You know, I think people don't understand, you know, that maybe the story has been there all along. I mean, I think if you think about, if I remember correctly, wasn't it Jimmy and Roman that just had all these battles that led to the Hell in the Cell?
No, that was Jay.
Was it Jay?
Okay. It was Jay, and then Jimmy ran in to save
Jay. But did he? Okay, I got him wrong. But didn't like Jimmy throw the white towel, or am I making this up?
Yeah, because Jimmy, like Jay, was getting choked the fuck out, and right. Jimmy threw in the towel and was like, that's our blood, man. That's our blood.
Right. So it's kind of like, you know, even though Jay got tapped out and his brother, you know, threw the towel for him, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I mean, it quickly, they just fell in line like nothing. And I feel like...
Well, Jay didn't. Jimmy did, just to kind of solve a problem, I feel like. But Jay was the one that fought it for months and then was forced to join. And that's why... You know, I thought that he had, you know, all this animosity towards Sammy for all these months is because Sammy voluntarily joined when he was forced to. But mm-hmm. I mean, the casual wrestling fan at this point in time, even some of the hardcore wrestling fans, don't really know what happened 3 weeks ago. So you can't really expect them to remember 2 years ago.
Right.
That's why you show video packages and stuff.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's why WWE is so good at video packages, because they have to remind their audience it's too stupid to remember shit that happened 3 weeks ago. What happened?
Or what happened like five nights ago?
Fans are dumb.
It's okay.
So this promo has been going on for 15 minutes. Holy shit.
It's EC3 promo?
It's EC3 and Mike Bennett.
Yuck. You're still watching.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not going to change the channel when Mike Bennett's on my television.
Have you considered it, though?
No. He's not Jay Briscoe. Or Mark Briscoe.
Listen. When the power of love is on, you just got to keep it on, man.
Thy kingdom come.
Yeah, so I don't know about you all, but this show gets for me an A-.
I give it a solid B+. It would have been better if I would have actually got a conclusion to Brock and Lashley.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you're not supposed to get conclusion right now. This is WrestleMania season. WrestleMania is supposed to give you conclusion, not the Elimination Chamber.
Which is why I was... Oh, shit. Gail Kim is all chained up. Which is why I was shocked that they did it at Chamber. Like, if the match at Mania is going to be Brock and Bobby in, like, a cage, like, why tease us? Shit. Oh, it's Decay. I like Decay. But I don't know where we're going, because, like, Bray's essentially called out Bobby, and apparently Omos is calling out Brock, so, like, I don't know what's going to happen.
They're moving on. Doesn't have to be finished for now, but, you know, they can at least move on and then
revisit the series it later. Tied. I need a conclusion, damn it.
Well, you ain't getting it today.
Brock 1-1, Bobby 1-1. I need to know who's the fucking winner.
Nobody's the winner. They both won. Can't we all just be happy that they both had a good time?
No. No. Wrestling's not about having a good time. It's about winning and losing.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. That's what AEW tells me.
But you don't watch AEW.
Unfortunately,
WWE pretty much tells you that guys can lose, and the very next night they can get a title shot. They can lose consistently for several weeks in a row, but you come out and you trash talk a guy, and then you get a main event title shot.
That's fair.
Speaking of title shots, rumor is a 20-man battle royal will be had at MSG. On the road to WrestleMania, the winner getting a title against Gunther at WrestleMania.
I can't wait for R-Truth to win it.
Well, yep. It'll be Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus versus Kofi versus Xavier Woods versus Rey Mysterio.
Cody going to take all the titles? Damn.
Versus Bobby Lashley versus Finn Balor versus The Miz versus Rick Boogs versus Bronson Reed versus Dexter Lumis versus Omos versus Johnny Gargano versus Dominic Mysterio versus Damian Priest versus Santos Escobar versus Braun Strowman versus Ricochet versus Baron Corbin versus Karrion Kross.
I tuned out about halfway through that. Sorry.
Yeah. So.
I heard Braun Strowman's name, so that's probably the winner.
Yeah.
I don't know. Could be Drew. I mean, if Gunther and Sheamus had some good bangers, why not try one with Drew?
Because the chosen one doesn't need the Intercontinental title. He's already won that.
Yeah, but this time he can take it from Gunther.
Nah, Gunther's doing great.
Okay. The league continues to have high ratings on Monday Night Raw.
Cool.
A sale could be had, and apparently somebody started a rumor that Vince McMahon is back at creative, and that's freaking people out.
That was one wrestler that told one journalist that he thinks that Vince is back.
Yeah.
Why is Al Snow in a wrestling ring in 2016?
Because head.
Wasn't he the commissioner or something at that point?
Apparently he's getting the shit booed out of him though, apparently. Whatever. Al Snow sucks. Yeah.
Job squad for life, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, so one person is scared and now all of a sudden the entire world thinks Vince is back in creative, so you know.
Normal things are gonna happen. But yeah. They're not looking bad for sale. Rumors also that Vince McMahon is looking for a $9 million price tag.
$9 billion.
Sorry, $9 billion. My apologies. I think
pricey.
I think UFC went for 4.2. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, but wrestling's better than mixed martial arts. That shit's fake.
Yeah. At least they really own their intellectual property.
That shit.
So, how much you guys think you sell? I think he's asking 9, somewhere between. I'll probably say 6.5.
Yeah, 6.5 sounds about reasonable. They'll meet in the middle somewhere.
How much money Steve Austin got? Because I heard he gonna buy it.
Well, he was already the CEO and he didn't really like his job.
The Rock doesn't want it, so we gonna give it to Stone Cold instead.
The Rock should buy it. He takes all of Vince's failed experiments.
He didn't do the World Bodybuilding Federation.
Yeah, well, that shit
sucked. Nobody wants that.
Yeah. Nobody wanted that shit.
Except Vince. He loved it. Hear him yelling during those pose downs.
Oh boy, I love that big meaty chest on that guy. God. Anyway.
Pretty much dead on.
The Rock actually made the XFL entertaining, so I had a good time watching it this weekend.
I mean, it wasn't unentertaining the first time. It was just fucking football, and it's hard to get people to support other football other than the NFL. It's hard to get people to support a second sports league when they're so used to one league. I mean, that's why WWE still does so great in ratings, even though there's, you know, there's different things out there. People get used to things a certain way, and when something's not a certain way, they don't want to pay attention to it.
Two former WWE stars appear at Impact tapings. Who is it?
I mean,
it's Kenta.
Which ones? Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Eric, yeah, he's teaming with.
You're an Alabama fan or not?
He's teaming with Bay and Bay and Ace to take on the Time Machine, as they're known.
Shane Thorne.
Yeah.
Shane Thorne. Oh, dope. Fuck yeah. And yes, I am an Alabama fan. I mm-hmm. like both of those guys.
So, how did it feel to see AJ McCarron play some football again?
That was goated. I liked that last 3 minutes where he just decided, oh yeah, I know how to play football, and then played football. Is Shane Thorne back in TMDK?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, so the core of TMDK now in New Japan Pro Wrestling is Thorne, Mikey Nichols, and Zack Sabre Jr.
Hot led damn, by Zack Sabre Jr.
Yes, Zack Sabre Jr. calls himself the front man. There is no leader in TMDK, but that is the version of it right now. So it's Shane Thorne, Mikey Nichols, and Zack Sabre Jr. And they have their own young lion that they've brought in as a fourth member to basically be their protege.
I dig it. Yeah. I like that team.
Pretty much.
They're a lot of fucking fun. They just jump together like that at New Year's Dash.
Yeah, what was his name? Kosei Fujita?
Yeah, Kosei Fujita. Who Zack had used some of the young lions as kind of deceptive tactics against some of the House of Torture guys. And he just decided that one was right there ringside, and they literally pulled out a TMK shirt and threw it on him. So he was kind of in whether he wanted to or not.
Yeah, pretty much.
Here for it.
Mm-hmm. So I think there's other guys who are still parts of it, but at least the group officially now is just those four.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense for now. I mean, we don't need anybody else.
I like TM61.
Yeah. Although I think Tito?
Yeah, but I think he's either on the injured list or he's kind of just wrestling in the US with Strong right now. So he has he was kind of Jonah's second when Jonah was doing the G1, he was there to, you know, lose all the preview tag matches for Jonah, and they made him a full-fledged member. But yeah, I don't know if he's coming back in or if, you know, if I think he's injured or something, so I don't know how long it'll be.
Yeah.
Well, hot damn. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, this is fun. So yeah, so okay. Let's wrap up with the Valley results. Battle in the Valley.
There was only one match that mattered.
Well, you know, I mean, in addition to the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match, we also did have the Loser Leaves New Japan match versus Eddie Kingston and Jay White. Did not know Kingston was in New Japan Pro Wrestling. But
he's not. We talked about this last week when we were running down the preview. Jay White was trying to do the same thing he did to Hikuleo, where he was trying to take a dream away from him. Eddie's dream has always been He's talked about it for years and years. He wants to wrestle competitively in Japan. You know, the G1 is a dream of his. So Eddie has been doing, you know, New Japan Strong off and on while contracted to AEW. Jay White and he have been going back and forth for a while. They'd had a match already. And so he said, hey, man, you know, I'm going to take the dream, your dream of ever competing in a New Japan ring in Japan, away from you right here now. And for the second time in a row, it backfired on him.
And now he's going to WWE.
And the bigger shock, not the bigger shock, but I was shocked that Jay lost. But then, you know, the fans are giving him an ovation. Thank you for what you've done with New Japan. And who the fuck comes and attacks him but David Finley, of all people. Comes and clocks him with a shillelagh and says he's coming to take over, et cetera, et cetera. And he had beaten Jay White last year in the New Japan Cup. And, you know, they were in the same class together as Young Lions. So they have a long history. But apparently David Finley now decided that he's going to, start trying to take things. He's not going to be a happy, smiley kid anymore because that hasn't worked for him. It makes something interesting as he's announced for the New Japan Cup coming up in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. So it adds some interest, you know, that he could possibly go far in the New Japan Cup. But yeah, I was very surprised as David Finley, of all people. I was like, he hasn't even really been wrestling that much lately.
Is Finley Bullet Club?
No, he is not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's just, well, see, he had always been on the good guy's side. He and Juice were together, and then Juice turned on him and joined Bullet Club and left David Finley kind of high and dry.
Well, usually when one of the leaders of Bullet Club leaves, the next guy
somebody else comes in
out of him. And,
well, that's and not always the case. AJ literally just left and said, I'm out. And then Kenny was kind of picking over a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought Kenny beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
But he might have beat the shit out of him, but apparently it wasn't kicking him out, because that's what they say. It's, you know, he's still in, and same with the Good Brothers. They weren't kicked out, where Kenny was actually kicked out because the Bullet Club turned on him.
No, that was another universe.
Nope.
Yeah, another, you know, that universe where Mike Keaton's still Batman? That's that universe. But in this universe, yeah, AJ got kicked out.
But okay, yeah. So now Bullet Club essentially without a leader. I guess maybe once the new Japan Cup starts, we'll see.
Can we just kill Bullet Club?
No, you can't. They're too much of a moneymaker for the company.
Bullet Club is for life, bro.
Yeah, you can't kill us for life, brother.
Sure, you can. The NWO is dead.
No, not for life. Come on now.
So Kent is a new strong open weight champion.
Yes, with the help of Bullet Club's Juice Robinson, mind you.
I mean, he won a fair and square.
Juice came at him with the left hand of God, with a fistful of quarters, actually. When he hit him, you saw quarters flying around. Kenta then hits the go to sleep. And
no interference.
Hey, man, it's Bullet Club. Of course there's interference, and we love it. Fucking Kenta's champion again. That's what matters. Hopefully more in the United States, so we have a chance to see Kenta.
Meh, who cares?
Somebody who knows how to do a proper go to sleep.
Yeah,
somebody. CM Punk was in the crowd watching this guy shit on his entire moveset.
Mm-hmm. I know, funny. CM Punk paid to watch this guy wrestle, huh?
I'm sure he didn't pay.
Dan Howland wants to know if Pepsi Phil, hopefully better, not have used the $94 that he owes him to buy New Japan tickets.
I still am very curious as to why he was there with Giselle.
She was sitting in the row before in front of him, so I don't think they were together.
Okay.
What that picture looked like, she was sitting down below him, so they were just sitting near each other and talking as wrestlers in the biz, kind of.
Gotcha.
I don't think they were like there together specifically.
Well, no, because Punk is not stupid enough to let AJ Lee go.
Well, you don't have to be dating somebody to go watch a wrestling show with them.
Sure you do. You didn't know that was in our contract when we went to Vengeance Day?
Oh, shit.
Sorry, bud.
But Eddie was there, too, so were we in like a
tri-couple? But he didn't go with us.
That's, well, I mean, he did. He was there.
He met us there. That's different. We went together. He met us there.
Damn.
Yeah.
Surprise.
The Motor City Machine Guns retain the strong open weight tag team championships.
Hey, I like those guys.
Yeah, we all do. Eddie Kingston, of course, as we said, sent JY out to pasture. So, really, do we think that WWE is taking Jay over AEW? I mean,
that's pretty much Jay's decision.
Yeah, realistic. I guarantee you he's got offers and interest from multiple parties. I have heard rumors saying that, you know, once WWE learned that Jay White was possibly becoming a free agent soon, they held a major emergency meeting to discuss possible, you know, ways to bring him in as far as story and gimmick and monies and all this stuff. I don't know if any of that's true, but it makes a nice story and it's good clickbait. Yeah, I guarantee you he's got offers from multiple places. I guarantee you Impact would give him is probably made an offer to him, being that he worked with them when he was on kind of his you know, when we were in the Forbidden Door for real, brother, and everybody was just popping up everywhere. And I guarantee you AEW's probably talked to him, and I guarantee you WWE's probably reached out. So it probably very much depends on him. Not just, you know, cost and money what's being offered, but, you know, what they have for him creatively and dates and, you know, all this stuff.
So he can go to AEW. You guys like to see him? Well, I kind of want him to do the AEW loop so he can get the podcast and get the title match and lose and then go to Dark.
Yeah, and then just wrestle on YouTube.
Yeah.
Till he decides, you know, to leave for somewhere else. Honestly, that's what he's got in AEW. I mean, that's what's been proven, you know, apart from a few other guys, you know, but, and he could be one of those quote unquote, but yet again, their roster's enormous. They got too many guys that everybody says need to be in the main event. Okay. There's only one main event match per show. Okay. You're not going to have like a 20-on-20 guy match in the fucking main event every week. Okay. It's just not happening. So,
I mean, like think of the guys that everybody has said, you know,
oh, this guy needs to rise to the main event. Yeah.
Miro has done fuck all. Alistair, fuck all. Adam Cole, fuck all. Cesaro, not really done much.
Yeah, Keith Lee, done only, you know. I mean, and you can just keep going on and on and on and on. But I'm saying, like, so.
No, yeah, no, I get you.
I don't think there's always a place, but I don't think that they'll be able to provide a place that he really wants as far as, you know, being towards the top of the card and getting good TV time and these kind of things. He'll be struggling against so many others, regardless of who he's maybe friends with. I think WWE has a possibility to do more with him. It just depends, you know, like where do they see him? Do they see him kind of floating around, or do they want to push him right to, you know, give him Cody treatment or give him AJ treatment, or do they want to, you know, do like they did with Shinsuke and kind of bring him through NXT for a little bit and then bring him up, you know. I think Impact would be a good place for him because I know he would be very, you know, they would feature him very heavily.
He'd be
on that show,
top
probably
guy pretty much immediately.
Yeah. Oh yeah, comes in the door and he's a top guy. Yeah, he'd be gunning for Josh Alexander and that belt.
That actually probably would be a dope match.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, and that's what I was talking to you. I mean, Jay White he can do, you know, 10-minute matches that are really good, and he can do fucking 45-minute matches that are really good. You know, he knows how to work slightly different styles and crowds, and, you know, that's something he pretty much proved when he was kind of here in the United States, because he had been doing main events in New Japan where, yeah, they're 25-plus-minute matches. But here he was doing TV matches and having still really good matches with lots of different people. So he has the capabilities to do that. Yet again, it comes down to if the money's right and if, you know, the dates and creatively and stuff, what he wants to do.
So, question real quick, just because you mentioned his name. Where the fuck is Shinsuke?
He's probably still in Japan, occasionally.
He wrestled Keiji Muto on New Year's Day.
And then that was it. He hasn't been on TV since.
I mean, he might just still be in Japan, you know, staying with family and stuff like that, taking time off.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, the guy, since he joined WWE outside of being injured.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much been
full-time.
Living in the United States, working full-time since, like, 2016. Yeah, so.
I was about to say, yeah, that's, okay. I mean,
if they're not, you know, so, I mean, it's obviously WrestleMania season. If he was going to be involved in WrestleMania, you would have seen him by now.
Yeah, you know, and if they had any, like, Mania plans or whatever, if they didn't, they probably were just like, hey, man, if you take a couple months off.
Yeah, yeah. So his quote unquote buzz from wrestling in Japan kind of dies a little bit by the time it comes back, you know. I think maybe. But yeah, I would expect him to come back, you know, probably after Mania.
Raw after Mania or SmackDown
yeah.
after
Mania. Yeah, well, so, I mean, he could even be a month or two after. He doesn't have to be like right away. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, I think he went to Japan and he's just been staying there, hanging out, you know.
Yeah.
Going to shows, hanging out with his bros.
Tom Lawler defeats Homicide in a Filthy Rules match. Zack Sabre Jr. defeats Clark Connors to retain the NJPW World Television Championship. Longest match of the night. Mercedes Moné defeats Kairi to win the IWGP Women's Championship.
Duh.
I mean, it was a really good match. You know, it was definitely a longer form match than what, you know, Mercedes has been used to as far as television matches and those kind of things, but you know, as a first match back, haven't wrestled in a live crowd in a while, yeah. You know, and all that. She looked really good. It was a longer match, you know, a little bit different style. But, you know, yet again, I think it was a great reintroductory match for her. You know, Kairi has wrestled the American style. She's, you know, wrestled Mercedes before. You know, they're good friends. So, you know, they definitely went in there and they threw all their best shots at each other. It was a really, really good match. I enjoyed it. And the win felt good. You know, like, I honestly would have been happy either way. You know, it seemed that it was kind of a big thing that she was going to come in and take the belt and try to, you know, add some star power and lead the division and these kind of things. And that's cool. But I was also okay if Kairi retained. And then Mercedes, you know, took a different path and maybe kind of had to rebuild and, you know, start from the bottom of the Stardom roster and try to work her way back up to a title shot. But, you know, yeah, I'm very excited to see how she, you know, cause of course in the United, you know, in Japan, she was pretty much treated as, you know, a heel there. You know, she comes in, interrupts after a match, attacks her, you know, she was kind of establishing herself as a heel in Japan. But in the United States, there was no way they were going to boo her.
Nope.
You know, so I'm interested to see, you know, when she wrestles in Japan. She's already had Azumi has laid down a challenge for the next shot at the IWGP Women's Championship. Of course, Mercedes, in the press conference immediately following Wrestle Kingdom, said some of the other people that she's really interested, that she follows and would be very interested in wrestling, would be Azumi and Mayu Iwatani. Mayu Iwatani and Azumi had a match that same day in Stardom. Azumi won it, so she decided that she was going to make the challenge. So we just kind of need a when and where. I don't know if it'll happen in Japan or if it'll happen in the U.S., but she seems to be lining up to be the next challenger, and that's, you know, one of the things I'm very interested to see is how Mercedes does against somebody who she hasn't wrestled before, who's not as familiar wrestling the American style. So to where Mercedes will literally have to work hard to work their style instead of meeting somewhere in the middle.
Well, also, she has been, even in WWE, She was in like the mid-breath dojos training with the Joshi.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was in TJPW training with them. So like,
yeah, she's done that, and she's been, and she went down to Mexico and was training.
Yeah,
you know, in her time off.
She'll be okay.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm interested to see how she does. I'm not saying she'll do poorly. I'm not expecting her to flop. I'm just interested to see
the internet
see her be challenged as an athlete to wrestle. You know, somebody else's
she's
style.
Not familiar with, yeah,
yeah, okay. Yeah. Somebody else,
yeah,
yeah. A style and a person she's not familiar with, because her and Kyrie did really. I mean, that was 27 minutes. It was a really damn good match, you know. But yet again, they've wrestled before. They're friends. They've trained together. You know, like it was a great way to introduce everybody, to introduce reintroduce the fans to her. You know, of course, reintroduce fans who might have seen Kyrie as much. You know, also kind of have a longer form match in front of American audience. You know, but in Japan, they're going to be happy and excited to see her. But, you know, they're definitely going to want her to prove that she belongs there. That's what I'm saying. I'm very excited to see how she does and how she rises to the challenge, because I definitely believe she will. But it just makes for a lot of exciting matchups. And then, of course, you know, I mean, if they try to keep this belt mostly stateside, then, hey, that means we possibly get more chances to see her live and also see some of the other Stardom roster live on against her or on shows, you know, fighting for number one contendership, that kind of thing. So I think it's a really, really good positive thing all around.
In the 30 minutes that they had the match, Mercedes did what Kyrie couldn't do, and that was legitimize Joshi Wrestling as the New Japan Women's World Champion.
To be fair, the only match that Kyrie had was 4.5 minutes, so they didn't really give her that much of a chance.
It's okay. Kyrie can't hang, and we saw that.
No, the reality is it took Sasha 27 minutes to beat Kyrie when it took Kyrie only 4.5 to beat Tam.
Well, then that just means that Sasha's just 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, 24, about 7 times better than Tam, because she beat her.
But it took her that long to do it, though.
But that's okay, but she still won. Because she's Monday. And it's okay. We knew Kyrie couldn't hang with Sasha. That's why she left WWE. And then Sasha got bored of beating everybody in WWE and left and followed Kyrie. And now Kyrie's still losing to Sasha. The sun comes up and the world spins. And Sasha beats Kyrie.
That is quite a theory.
It's not a theory. It happened. Sasha beat her.
Sasha didn't do anything. Sasha's dead. Sasha Banks is dead.
Sasha's not dead. I still pull her super card, so clearly she's not dead.
Don't lie to me. I just pulled a Vader super card the other day, and we know that nigga did. Okay?
Facts.
I mean, I wasn't at his funeral, but we know he did.
I mean, last time we checked.
My daddy died. Wah.
In your main event, Okada defeats Tanahashi.
What a bunch of
to retain the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. And now they're going to team up together for the Tag Team Championships.
Yeah. That's interesting, yeah, for the anniversary show. So rather than doing the traditional junior heavyweight champ versus heavyweight champ, they're going to do the dream team with the heavyweight champ going against the heavyweight tag champ. So I think it's a little bit interesting spin on it. And especially because there aren't really any other teams right now lined up to challenge for the heavyweight championships. So I'm interested to see where that goes. And then
Mercedes comes out at the end and basically says that, you know, she's interested in teaming with Okada. So, you know, if they're as it's happened, you know, at least once, the Stardom crossover show where New Japan wrestlers team with Stardom wrestlers, they would definitely and absolutely be the main event team. You know, you would just have to find two high enough caliber stars to battle against those two.
It was a sold out crowd for the Valley, I believe, if I remember correctly. That's what they kept pronouncing. So
yeah, sold out weeks in advance, and so that's why they were pushing to try and get buys on Fight TV.
Well, as they say, right, money is money. So, but yeah. Great show, I think. Great way to, you know, of course, to start out the new world of the new era of New Japan Pro Wrestling America, and yeah, people will be able to watch on, New Japan, you know, the New Japan, Strong All Access, I guess, is the new version of what they're calling these, so they're gonna be breaking down these matches into segmented shows. So it'll be interesting to see how it looks on the TV there. But if anybody missed the pay per view, you'll get to watch those along the way. But yeah, can we see what they come up with next? And of course, the New Japan Cup is upon us. The anniversary show. A lot more. Of course, we are on the road to WrestleMania. WrestleMania goes Hollywood again. I'm so glad they're bringing back those.
Apparently, are doing the movie trailers again. Yeah, I've seen previews for those.
Batman
just talking about it a week or two ago about how we were hoping they would do those. And
yeah, Batman and the Joker. I believe the Goodfellas are getting done. Top Gun. And a few others. So the first one already came out with Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch's Batman and the Joker. I'm glad they're bringing those. I really enjoyed those the first time, and you know, here's for another good one of skits. But you know, we'll get to see those and much more in this upcoming weeks. Follow us, though. We'll be back next Tuesday. Everything goes well here on Podbean. As always, subscribe on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Spotify. I always forget about Spotify. Follow us on Twitter at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. Mika somewhere on Twitter at Mika Villas. Eric's on Twitter at EJ423X. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.